I hope you all bring your Bibles to the meetings. I'm not going to ask you to raise them. But in this age of electronics, we carry Bibles in our mobiles, and it's a good thing to bring a Bible to the meeting. Even if you have it in your mobile, it's good in your spare time that you can read God's Word. But it's good to bring a Bible to the meeting, not just a mobile. You remember Brother Zach encouraged us to do that. And I believe there's some value in it because we can lose. You know, suddenly if something happens in the electronic media and you're without God's Word. You have a Bible, you know, remember Brother Zach said, you know exactly where something comes. Use electronics if you have them, but I encourage you, make sure that you keep a Bible and you read from it and you bring it to the meetings. So, I want to share with you this morning something that has blessed my own heart. And so that's why I say it's necessary you have a Bible. Don't think, oh, we'll have it up on the screen, so no need for me to bring a Bible. We're not going to have anything up on the screen as I speak. I want you to look into your Bible. Because what I share this morning is so important. If we are to serve the purpose of God in our generation and to build the body of Christ, there are three essentials. Three important things that you and I need to serve the purpose of God in our generation. It says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36 that David, the psalmist and King David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep, he died. What a lovely word. After he served the purpose of God in his generation, he died. Ended his life. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Jesus, at the end of his ministry and the end of his life, could say that he had accomplished what he was sent by the Father to do. And oh, that if you and I, my brothers and sisters, at the end of our lives could say, I've accomplished the work, the purpose that God has set for me to do on this earth. And each one of you who are part of the family of God, part of the body of Christ, God has a specific purpose for you. That you may live your life and serve the purpose of God in your generation, that I may do it in my generation. And at the end, we can fall asleep. Oh, Jesus will come back and we are ready to meet Him. So I want to share with you three important things, three essentials, if we are to serve the purpose of God in our generation. And God's purposes, of course, is that we are to be His witnesses. And in that we build the church, and which is the body of Christ. And like I've said before, there's no greater work we can do in our lifetime. I hope you recognize that. There's no greater work that you and I can ever do in our lifetime upon this earth than to be part of what God is doing in these last days, and that is to build the body of Christ. And so, like I said, there are three things that you and I are to seek and ask for if we are to be able to do this. And in doing this, we can really live a fulfilling, satisfying, glorious life on this earth. I believe that. I've begun to taste that, and I thank God for opening my eyes ever since I came into this church, ever since the church began. And I thank God that I've been gripped in my heart that this is a lifetime work. Everything else that you and I may do on this earth is secondary. We have our jobs, we have to support our families, and various things. We have to educate our children, we have to get our children married, all those things. But to build the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, that's the greatest work that you and I can do. Jesus said that we will do greater works than He did. And I believe the greatest work that you and I can do is to build the body of Christ. It's not standing up here and preaching. You may not have the grace and ministry for that. It's not holding some position and being recognized as somebody in the church. But you in your small corner, like we sing that Sunday school song, and I in mine, that you can shine as a light. If you're a wife, you're a homemaker, you've got children to look after, you've got a husband to take care of, you can serve the purpose of God. You believe that, sisters, and you young sisters, and you young people, that you can serve the purpose of God in your generation. The purpose of God is not just getting married and, oh, you wait for one day that you'll get married. Don't worry, you'll get married. God has already planned that for you. You don't have to seek after these things the Gentiles seek after, but to serve God's purpose. And I want this morning that God grips our hearts, my brothers and sisters. I wish I had seen this right in the beginning of my Christian life. But thank God, better late than never. And thank God that ever since I came to the church, began to see this. And so I want to encourage and challenge you this morning to seek after these three things. And I look in the Bible and they are the only things that are mentioned with three questions. What do you want? Ask whatever you wish me to give you. And what do you want me to do for you? The only times it comes in the Bible. You can look it up sometime. What do you want? Ask whatever you wish me to give you. That was a question asked to a man. And what do you want me to do for you? And under these three questions, I believe, we can see what was asked for, that God has something specific to say to us. Supposing if the Lord were to ask you and me the same three questions, what would you and I ask for? I know what I've already asked for. How about you? You're thinking only of material things? You think of a better job, a better house? You think of, I want to get married? Like we heard Newton say recently, many have their goal, they want to go abroad. They want to go to the US, they want to go to some foreign country. That's what they're seeking after. And if God were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Say, Lord, I want to go to the US. I want to go here. I want to go there. And many other things. Don't get me wrong. It's no sin to ask for material things. Our needs in relationships, that we may have problems and difficulties, there are needs, and the Lord may ask us, what do you want me to do for you? And I say, Lord, I need to be more patient. I need to be free from irritability. God hears those prayers. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 7, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's true here that He's speaking about bringing forth fruit, because He said in verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then verse 16, He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give to you. And this I command you, that you love one another. You see, this is all together. It's not that I ask the Lord. Says, you know, the Lord, I remind the Lord, Lord, you said that whatever I ask the Father in your name, you'll give it to me. But you see that sandwich there, that we are to bear fruit, and like Jesus said, I command you that you love one another. So if we do those two things, we are bringing forth fruit, we love one another, I can ask the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus said He will give it to us. I have experienced that, I can testify to God. Many, many things. Like I said, it's no sin to ask material things. It's no sin to ask for things where, you know, we struggle in relationships, we have problems in the home. There's no sin. I'm not saying that all the time we only have to ask spiritual things. John chapter 14, in verse 13 and 15, again He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name. And he says, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Many times, do we really believe that? I don't look at these words and say, I'm going to ask for a big house. I'm going to ask for some property. I'm going to ask for an increase in salary. That's okay. You may not ask those things, but make sure that you're fulfilling the other two things, that fruit is coming forth from your life, because that's why God has chosen you. Make sure that you love one another, because Jesus said that's his command. And so he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But here again in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it all goes together. You know, we can't take that out and say, I'll ask, and I'll ask for this, and I'll ask for that. If we do fulfill the conditions, we can ask anything, like Jesus says, in his name, and he will do it. And he says in verse 24, again, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. So much, Jesus says, he encourages us, challenges, ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. So Jesus says, ask, and you will receive. And in verse 26, of that chapter, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. So ask, and you will receive. So it's no sin to ask for material things. It's no sin to ask for another job. If I'm having problems in that job, it's no sin to ask, Lord, I need a better house. And I need to earn a little more money so that I can support my family, make it more comfortable. No sin for those things. But there are other things that we need to ask about. And I want you to see another word. And it says James, in James chapter 4, in verse 2 and 3, he says that you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, that's the reason. We don't ask, we don't receive. Or if we ask with wrong motives. We ask, we want to keep up, you know, we want to get into competition with somebody. Somebody else has that kind of vehicle, I also want it. Somebody has something else, you know, you see a sister that will, I'm also going to get that. I'm not talking about asking for those things. That's what he says, you ask with wrong motives. But I want to challenge ourselves this morning. I'm not speaking about those things. I'm just saying we can ask for material things. We can ask for things that we need in this life, because God is our Father. We are part of His family. But I want to challenge ourselves this morning that we raise our asking to a higher level that would lead us to a higher life. Because that's God's purpose for us. And a more fulfilling and closer relationship with Jesus that we have ever known, that will result in our contribution to the building of the body of Christ. I really believe that. And I want you to really pay attention to hear what the Spirit is saying. And in this way we will bring glory to God in our personal life. The glory of God will come into our lives, into our homes, like I was sharing at the wedding of Sankar Kishore and Padma. When Jesus turned water into wine, it was not just to give them more wine to get more drunk. But it says this first miracle that he did, where he manifested forth his glory. And what was it? When they ran short of something, they didn't panic, they didn't throw their hands up in despair, they came to Jesus. That's what I was saying. We run short of many things. May not just be food and money and wine like it was in this situation. Can be other things. It can be love and mercy and patience, I was saying. We can run short of these things. But we know where we can go. That's the difference of a Christian marriage. We know whom we can go to. Not like other marriages, even though they may get married in a church or wherever. They don't have somebody they can go to. But we have somebody. When we come to the end of our hoarded resources, like we sing in that song, He gives and He gives again. So if we run short, we can go to Him. So that the glory of God, that's the purpose, the glory of God comes into your life and mine, my brothers and sisters. And you and I have been called to gain the glory of God through Jesus Christ. I hope you recognize that. Not just to receive the forgiveness of your sins, but to gain the glory of God. Glory can come into our lives. Our lives need not be monotonous. Our lives need not be boring. We don't have to throw up our hands in despair when we get into difficulties. You know, it could have happened in that wedding. Oh, the waiter could have said, like I said, in that wedding, you know, give them water. They've already drunk enough. Look at them. Or give them grape juice. They brought it to Jesus. And it's amazing that it was when people had drunk so much that Jesus made more wine and manifest His glory. What do we learn from that? That whatever it is we run short of, we can come to Him. And He will meet that need and bring glory into our lives. So, like I was saying, we are looking at the three most important and essential things we need if we wish to serve the purpose of God in our generation and build the body of Christ. And that's the church. And if you and I are to live a glorious, fulfilling life on this earth. And the first thing, the first question, and this is a question that the father asks his daughter, what do you want? I want you to see that in Judges, in Joshua. It comes twice, by the way. The same incident comes twice. That means the Holy Spirit has something specific to say. In Joshua chapter 15 and verse 16. You know, God had given them victory over all their enemies. We have some real warriors here. Caleb was one of them. Defeated all these giants. He's a real warrior, even though he was 80 years old. I like this man. You know, he was not saying, I've gone old now, I'll retire. Let somebody else take up the battle. He fought, and he fought to the end, and he brought up wonderful children, a wonderful daughter. And here in Judges in chapter 15, in verse 16, Caleb said, the one who attacks Kiriat Sefer and captures it, I will give him Aksah, my daughter, as a wife. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Aksah, his daughter, as a wife. It came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? What do you want? Then she said, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. We have the same incident recorded in Judges chapter 1. That means that the Holy Spirit is saying something to us. When the Holy Spirit repeats something, Jesus repeated things, that means, you know, pay attention. This is important. He was ears to hear, let him hear. And what did she ask for? When our father says, what do you want? She could ask for so many things. But he said, give me a blessing. Not give me more property. Give me a blessing. And she said, give me springs of water. I'm not satisfied with the land of the Negev. I want springs of water. And what does that convey to you and me? That we have been brought into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. God has brought us out of Egypt, as it were. And He has saved us from our sins and forgiven us and cleansed us and made us part of the family of God. And we are so happy. We have come into a new life. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Many things go out of our lives. Praise God for that. And some of the giants also, like Othniel, he defeated those giants there, sons of Anak, huge giants, the three sons of Anak. He defeated and took over the land of the Negev, but he had a wonderful wife who saw how her father lived. And so when he says, what do you want, Aksa? He said, give me springs of water. Give me a blessing. Oh, if it can be like that, my brothers and sisters, with you and me, and not think that I know I am part of the family of God, and I can think of days and dates. we have often heard in this church, that's for the cemetery. But how is it today? How is my life today? Have I gone to my Father in heaven and said, give me a blessing. I want a blessing. I want springs of water. Like that woman who came to Jesus, who came to draw water, and Jesus spoke about living water, and she said, give me this water that I will not thirst again and I don't have to come here to draw. That's the cry that must go from our hearts. That's the cry that went up from this woman's heart. Oh, that sisters, that we can have sisters like that. What glorious wives they will make for their husbands, for wholehearted brothers. I'm not talking about half-hearted. We need some wholehearted sisters like Eksa. Give me a blessing. Give me springs of water that they can seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear sister, you just given, you resign yourself, and the same old thing, get up in the morning, make breakfast, and send the children to school, and pack lunch for my husband, and you get tired of it. And Eksa was not such a sister. She was on fire. What a wife to have, dear brothers. Seek for a wife like that. Not for some half-hearted, good-looking sister. Seek for a wife like Eksa. I will challenge you, young brothers, who will not just come into your life and you just produce children through her, and she's a head cook and bottle washer, as it were, and does all the things for you. And you're a happy man, and somebody to take care of you, cook your meals, and wash your clothes. Is that all? That's okay for people in the world, not for us, who are disciples, who call ourselves disciples or people of God. Sisters, I challenge you this morning, be like Eksa. You young sisters, who are not yet married, and you ones who have got married, be like Eksa. Give me a blessing. I don't want dowry, but give me a blessing. Give me springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And that's our Father in heaven. He will give us the upper springs and the lower springs. He will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus will baptize us. And a well of water will spring up within us into everlasting life. And out of our innermost being, rivers of living water will flow from us. My dear brothers and sisters, you cannot serve God's purpose. In your generation, you young people, it's impossible to serve the purpose of God if you don't have this cry in your heart. Give me a blessing. Give me springs of water. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. I just don't want an experience and speak in tongues. I want the upper springs and the lower springs. I want rivers to flow from my innermost being. Do you want that, my dear young people? I thank God, God put this desire in my heart. And I want to be like Caleb. I don't know whether I live to 80 or 90, but the remaining years, I want to be like him, to be a warrior like him, to challenge, encourage a younger generation. Live for God. Don't live an ordinary life. We are not ordinary people. I hope you recognize that. We are not ordinary people. We are special people. We are people for God's own possession. Live for God. And God asks you this morning, what do you want? What comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Dear young people, I want a good wife. That's okay. Is that all? You want a good wife? You want to get married? You want a good job? You want to make more money? Is that all that you're seeking for? Be like this sister. Be like this young woman. What a daughter Caleb brought up. And you parents, if you can bring up daughters like this, not who are fashionable and follow the fashions of the world, and, you know, sometimes are a drag on good wholehearted brothers. And also, you know, they're living ordinary lives, and they drag this poor brother also to live an ordinary life. And I believe that there are some brothers who miss the purpose of God. Come back. And you sisters, seek God. God, your father asks you, what do you want, my daughter? What do you want? Will you say to him this morning, Lord, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want springs of water. I don't want to live this ordinary, dry life. I want springs of water. I want freshness. I want to be like marrow in my husband's bones, if you're married. Give me springs of water. He will give you, like Caleb gave his daughter, the upper springs and the lower springs. He will give you living water that you will never thirst again. You'll never get dry. Your life will be fresh all the time. The danger, my brothers and sisters, that we face in CFC, that we are so message-oriented. We hear messages and messages and messages. Oh, that was a good message. Is that all we're living for? And we listen to the messages. Praise God for wonderful teaching. Praise God for a brother like Brother Zach. Praise God for all that we can get from the internet. But is that all? You have it on your mobile. You have it on your iPad. You listen to it in your car, or maybe in your work spot when you have time. But is that all? Your life is built around messages. I want to tell you, if you don't know it, you're becoming religious. There's a word I have for you. It says in Matthew chapter 11, we know it, we've heard it before in the Message Bible. I want to read it from the Message. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Come to me, Jesus said. What do you want? That's what he asked you this morning, my brothers and sisters. Will there be a cry from your heart? Lord, give me a blessing. Bless me. I'm backslidden, but bless me, Lord. Revive me. I become dry and my life is so monotonous and boring. Bless me, Lord. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit and he will meet you again. Baptize you in the Holy Spirit afresh if need be and fill you every day. Rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. Okay, the second question, and this is what God asks a man. He had put on David's throne. A man that I hope you recognize that. That wherever there's power and authority, it's God who has put that person there. We've recently been through elections and, it's God who has put our Prime Minister there. It's God who has given him power and authority to rule this country. I hope we pray for him. I've begun to pray for him. And pray for his ministers. God is the one who puts people into power. And God had put this man on David's throne. And so, this is the question he asked him. He says, ask what you wish me to give you. Ask whatever you wish me to give you. Supposing God were to ask you. And God came to Solomon, we're talking about, in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you want to look at it. I'd like you to look at it. 1 Kings chapter 3. That's why I said it's good you bring a Bible. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Ask what you wish me to give you. And, I like the way Solomon began his life. Sorry that, he didn't end his life well, ended up unrepentant and probably went into hell because he backslid so much. But in 1 Kings and chapter 3, when God put him on the throne, and God said to him, ask what you wish me to give you. Then Solomon said, verse 6, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. David ended his life well, even though there were some problems or bitterness that he had. But he served the purpose of God in his generation like we read in Acts chapter 13 and died. So he says, now, O Lord, verse 7, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I like that. I do not know how to go out or come in. He didn't say, no, I know. I know how to. I've seen how my father did it. He said, I do not know. I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant, listen to this, an understanding heart. And if you have a margin in your Bible, it says literally a hearing heart. Give your servant a hearing heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Oh, what an attitude to have. We who have responsibility, and you are asked to serve in the church, whatever it is, you don't think, oh, I know what to do. I'm quite capable. You are asked to be along in shepherding. I know what to do. I have experience. Many, many times I'm going to go on and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And if we maintain that, my brothers and sisters, God will fulfill His purpose through your life. I don't know what to do. I'm a little child. Jesus said, except you become converted, except you get converted and become like little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Be a child all through your life. Leave off grown-up ways. Let's be examples to the children among us. And so Solomon asked, give your servant an understanding heart, a hearing heart, so that I can judge. In other words, he's asking the Lord for wisdom. The wisdom that is from above. And God made him the wisest man that ever lived on this earth. You know that? Besides Jesus. But so sadly, he didn't end his life well. The wisdom that God gave him, he then used to keep himself from foreign women, allowed himself to be seduced. He backslid so badly, started worshipping idols. And as far as we know in scripture, he died an unrepentant life and probably went into hell. What an end. What a sad ending. May we never end our lives. Let's ask God for wisdom. That's what Solomon asked for. I don't know. I'm a child. And every one of you who serve in the church, and everyone, even if you don't serve in the church, you need wisdom, my dear brothers and sisters. You need wisdom to bring up your children. Not the wisdom that from the world that you get from books and from the internet. No, you get anything on the internet. Go to Google. You get anything. The wisdom from above. You don't get that from the internet. I want to tell you that. You have to seek God for it. You have to ask God, like Solomon, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me a hearing heart that I will hear and then judge and then help somebody in need. Not, I know what to do. I know how Brother Zach did it. I know how this family did it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to bring up this child. Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know how to be a good wife to my husband. Lord, I need wisdom. You husbands, Lord, I need wisdom. I'm the head of my home. There are decisions I have to make. Give me wisdom. Wisdom from above, not from books and not from the internet. Seek like that, my brothers and sisters. And I tell you, God will do what He did for Solomon. He gave him wisdom, but use it. Use it properly till the end of your life so that you can preserve yourself. You know, James says that we can ask God for wisdom in James chapter 1. You know that in verse 5. If we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. And He gives liberally, He says, without scolding us for our lack. I like that. God doesn't scold us for our lack of it. You know, we scold one another. Sometimes our children know. Sometimes our partners. For a lack. Because sometimes, you know, say, you know, why? You lack common sense. God doesn't scold us. He doesn't say, you don't have common sense. He gives us wisdom if we ask, and we ask in faith, like it says, without doubting. And I want you to see that there's a wisdom from below, which is not from above. There's a wisdom from above, there's a wisdom from below. And James speaks about that in James chapter 13. He says in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. So you know, be careful, the wisdom from below. But it says, the wisdom, and it goes on to say, this wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy, listen to this, and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder in every evil thing. So we have to watch out for jealousy and selfish ambition. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then reasonable. That means, you know, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the wisdom from above. And when we have this wisdom, we become peacemakers. We don't sow discord, especially among the brethren. We are full of mercy, like it says. We are merciful to others. We are not quick to pass judgment. We are not quick to come down on our partners and our children. And when we do, we go and mourn and say, Lord, that was not like you. Then I can come to this place where I'll be full of mercy. You know, Paul lamented that there was not one wise man in the church in Corinth. Not one wise man. I hope there are some wise men and women in CFC. I hope there'll be some who listen to this morning, will ask God for the wisdom that is from above. Ask Him. He will not scold you for asking so late. He will not scold you for your lack of it. And I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, we cannot build the body of Christ with worldly wisdom. We need wisdom from above. The wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle and all that there. That's the wisdom you and I need to build the body of Christ. That's the wisdom we need to build our families, because the family is the church, is a mini church. Two or three, Jesus said. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Two or three. So even if you don't have children, it's husband and wife, there's a church in your home. You need wisdom from above. Okay, and the last thing, the last question that Jesus asked this man. You know, this man who just could not stop crying out for mercy. I like, there's a lot we can learn from this man, Bartimaeus. You know, we can go on and on. So many things we can learn, but I just want to finish with what, you know, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Here's this question. Luke chapter 18. It comes in Matthew, it comes in Mark, it comes in Luke. And like I said, when everything is recorded more than once, twice, that means God has something, not just an incident, something that I can learn. And something I can learn from Bartimaeus. Luke says there were two men, maybe he had another friend, that's okay. But here, you know, not Luke, Mark, I think. And Matthew mentions him by name, and or was it Mark? I forget now. But Luke says, you know, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, and he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. I like this. You remember another place where Jesus stopped? You remember? We heard it here. The man who climbed up into the tree, Zacchaeus. Jesus stopped. Said, Zacchaeus, come down. Coming to your house for tea. And he says that Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? You think, what a question to ask. Why does Jesus ask? It's evident there what he needs. He's blind. Jesus, he's blind. What are you asking? What do you want me to do for you? But you know, Jesus always wants us, even though we have a need, others may see that need, but he wants you and me to ask, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to see. I want to regain my sight. I want my eyes open. I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Let's really have the spirit of this man. Nobody can stop us. Lord, I want to see. Open my eyes. Open my eyes in this situation that I can see things from your point of view. I tell you, only when your eyes and my eyes are open that we can see things from God's point of view. And that's in Colossians 2, I think. Look at things from God's point of view. When my eyes are open, I would get to know him better. I would get revelation. And that's the third thing that you and I need to build the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. That's essential. You and I need our eyes to be not just once open, but continually open. Maybe sometimes, like that man who needed Jesus to touch him again because he saw men as trees walking. He needed a second touch. Maybe some of you need a second touch because you see men, you see the brothers and sisters as trees walking, ready to chop them down. Like that gardener. Not like the gardener. But Jesus said to him, you know, if it's using a place, chop it down. But he said, I like that man. That's a shepherd's heart. Lord, give it some time. I'll put in some fertilizer, water it. If it doesn't bear fruit next year, fine, chop it down. Some of you maybe need a second touch, my brothers and sisters. So you stop seeing brothers and sisters as trees walking about. You see them as brothers and sisters, as human beings that need help. And Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And if your cry this morning is, Lord, I want to see. Give me sight. Some of you perhaps at one time did see. Excuse me. Baby, you need to regain your sight. Like this man says, Lord, I want to regain my sight. If you cry out to him this morning, my dear brother and sister, because you cannot serve the purpose of God in your generation if you go around blind. May not be physically, all of you can see. That's why you're sitting here. I'm not talking about physical blind, I'm talking about spiritual blindness. And I believe that many among us are spiritually blind. Because you've never asked. Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? And you don't see that your need is for your eyes to be open. You're thinking of a whole lot of other things. That person who's troubling you in the office. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Open my eyes. Don't be. I want you to look at this. Contrast this with, you know, Mark chapter 10. An interesting year. Verses 35 onwards. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Yeah, they had listened to Jesus, that whatever you ask, he'll do. And he said to them, the same question, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said, we are able. They were serious. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with, and the baptism which I am, and shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left, this is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. That's what they had. What do you want me to do for you? And they were ready. Lord, we want to sit on your right hand and left hand. And how is it this morning? And the Lord asks you, what do you want me to do for you? You want some place of honor? You want to be recognized in the church? You want people to appreciate you? Is that what you want? Jesus said, it's not to be like that with you, if you read on there. We are not to be benefactors. We are to be brothers and sisters, to bless and help others with our eyes open. We cannot help one another if our eyes are closed, if we are spiritually blind. And there are a lot of people who are more blind than Bartimaeus. And they end up in the ditch. And those who follow them also fall into the ditch. Oh, what a need, my brothers and sisters, there is among us for revelation. I have sought God and on my, I thank God. I thank God for bringing me across godly brothers. Right in the very beginning, 40 plus years ago, said, seek God for revelation. I thank God that in this church, this is what we have heard through the years. If you have ears to hear, seek God for revelation. Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the true knowledge of Him. That the eyes of their understanding, excuse me, will be opened. That's what he prayed for. And that's what we should be praying for, my brothers and sisters. So that we can be of use to God, that we can serve the purpose of God in our generation. And one final word. You know, we do not ask for light on ourselves, even though we may have heard that. I don't need to ask for light on myself. That came to me very powerfully. Nowhere in the scripture are we exhorted to seek for light on ourselves. That will bring us into condemnation. We have to seek for light on Jesus. That's what we see here. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3 it says we see the glory of God as in a mirror and we are changed. If I look at myself and ask light for myself, there are a lot of things I'll see and I'll get discouraged and despair. But when I see the glory of God, I'm changed. I'm changed. And, you know, in Psalm 36 verse 9, he says here, the psalmist, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. You get it now? In your light, we see light. And a person who is not getting light on Jesus will not get light on himself. It's as simple as that. So I don't write somebody off and say he has no light. He has no light on Jesus. If we get light on Jesus, we'll get light on ourselves. That's the light that has shone in our hearts, 2 Corinthians 4. God who said, let there be light, is the one who has shone in our hearts. To give us the light of the knowledge of God in the glory of Jesus Christ. Not of the knowledge of myself. I know that in me dwells no good thing. And if I go on focusing the light on myself, I would have given up long ago. But I thank God that I have it focused in the right direction. I look at Jesus. You'll never get discouraged. You'll see His glory and you'll be changed. So may God speak to us this morning, that we see that these are the three essential things we need. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you want? Caleb asked Exa. Give me a blessing. Give me springs of water. And we need wisdom, like God asked Solomon, ask me for whatever you wish and I'll give it to you. Lord, I need wisdom. And like we just saw just now, I need revelation. And I believe we need all the other two things, but we need what I've just shared with you much, much more, my brothers and sisters in this church, if we are to keep ourselves from becoming a religious congregation. May God help us. And those of us who have ears to hear, let Him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us that our lives may count for you. Help us to see what is really needed for us to fulfill your purpose in our generation. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us springs of water. Bless us, Lord. Bless us as families. Bless us as individuals, that we shall be a blessing. We really ask you, Lord, and give us wisdom from above. Help us to get rid of the wisdom that we use, which is from below. Give us wisdom from above, that we can build the body of Christ. And Lord, give us revelation. Give me revelation. More and more, open my eyes. I want to see all things clearly in these last days, Lord. Hear our cry this morning as you ask us, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, my cry, I want to see. I want to see all things clearly as we approach the end of time, that we can fulfill your purpose, that we can build your body and rejoice when the top stones are laid with shouts of grace, grace to it. In Jesus' name, Amen.